We don't all have the same ability. But you know that God says He puts into the church as it pleases Him. And the day you find out what your place is in the overall realm of God is the day that you're going to have revival in your life. To find out what God has equipped you with and what God has for you in the overall place of God. Take your Bible this morning, Acts chapter 10, if you would please. I want to preach to you this morning, church, on the subject, the call from Caesarea. The call from Caesarea. Acts chapter 10, if you would please. Would you stand with me this morning? Acts chapter 10. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. If you'll read silently as I read aloud. Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea, or as they say in the land of Israel, Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now skip down to verse 24. The call went to Peter. The summons came. Peter responded. Verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Scoot to verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words. In other words, he came, he taught, he preached. Listen to this. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that's Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now I want to use these scriptures this morning, and we're going to get right down, and we're going to do rumper room theology this morning, all right? It's going to be real simple. I'm just going to let the Bible speak for itself. It's going to teach us something about a call from Caesarea that may be the same call that's going out in this room today. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, would you take care of us and guide us and lead us in the way of truth, Holy Ghost, as you promised. And then we ask this morning that you teach us from the Word of God. We do ask now this morning that when we leave this place that our hearts would be stirred about the teaching and preaching of the Word, but most of all about what you have done and what our eyes will have seen and what our ears will have heard this morning. Just please, Lord, meet with us in this place. We do not want our time to be in vain. We want the Holy Ghost of God to come down and move and speak today in a miraculous way. Now bless the preaching of your word. Open hearts and spirits this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, there are a lot of moral people in this world who were raised to respect authority. They were raised to respect people and to respect God. You see, they are good citizens in their community. They pay their taxes yearly. I said they pay their taxes yearly. Somebody give me a witness right there because it's tax time. They pay their taxes. They're honest, upstanding. They work hard on their job, and they're respectful of others' property. You see, in the eyes of the world, these people would be model citizens. People you would want your family to be around. People that you would mind your children being around, and probably even people that you could trust with your home when you're on vacation. Now, that doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. But I remember as a kid growing up and stuff, we'd go on vacation, and my dad would go next door or the person across the street and tell them, we're going to be gone for a week or 2 weeks. Would you watch the house? And he'd give them a key to the house. And so what they would do is they would come get our mail and pick up the newspaper and things like that and just, you know, make a trip around the house a couple of times, make sure that everything's okay. You see, these type of people, like Cornelius was probably in the world, would be the model person, would be the model citizen. You see, Cornelius was not evil. He was not destructive. He was not abusive. Matter of fact, I kind of may have pictured him as a man having maybe that Mr. Rogers mentality. Or if it was a woman, maybe the appearance of Mary Poppins. You know, just somebody harmless. Somebody that looked like your average person on the street that wouldn't hurt anybody. May I say too that the world is filled with people like Cornelius was. This in the scripture, look at how it described him. You see, this man had character. The scripture said he was a devout man. He was devoted. He was a sincere man. He was a humble man. Did you notice it said he also feared God? He was reverent before God Almighty. Did you notice it said there that not only he feared God, but his whole house feared God. His whole house was respectful of the Lord. He was a very benevolent man. Did you notice there that it said that he also gave much alms to the people? He was a very benevolent man. He was a giving man. He wasn't a selfish man. And then did you notice in verse number 2, it also said, and he prayed to God always. Now listen, if you just took these verses and looked at this man, you'd think, this is the model citizen. This man would be someone I would trust with my house on vacation. This man would be the man I would trust with my children. This man would be a man that I would trust and have over to my home any day of the week. Cornelius had one little minor problem. He was a devout man. He prayed always. He gave alms. Problem, man, he's a lost man. He was a good man, maybe even a religious man, but a lost man. You see, may I say to you this morning that Cornelius sounds like a person you wouldn't mind having your family around, your kids around, or trusting with just about anything that you had. You see, Cornelius had all of the outward signs of being a Christian man. His outwardly display would have convinced anyone that he was a believer. But his inward condition was absent of Jesus Christ. You see, Cornelius had the works of salvation, listen to me, without the person of salvation. You see, there's a lot of folks that look like and looked the part, but he was missing one thing. He had the work part of it down. He had the person part of it absent. He was missing the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what this does this morning, church, is it sets now the scene for the message, the call from Caesarea. And I'm just going to allow the scriptures to teach us some things this morning directly from the passages of scripture that we've read. I want you to look, if you would, now in verse number 4. The first thing that I see here about this story this morning is, listen carefully, God answers prayer. Hey, isn't that great? God answers prayer. Look at verse number 4. And when he looked on him, speaking of Cornelius looking on the angel of the Lord, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." I'm here to tell you this morning, God answers prayer. prayer. He answered the prayer of a lost man who wanted to trust Jesus Christ. You see, Cornelius wasn't the only person in Scripture to speak up, and his voice was heard by God. I remember in Scripture, there was a blind man named Bartimaeus. The crowds were passing by, and he began to shout, "Jesus! Jesus, thou son of David! Have mercy on me!" Now, of course, you know, his good followers, the apostles that were full of the Holy Ghost, that were on fire for God, you know what they told him as he cried out for Jesus? "Shh! Shh! You don't disturb the master." You know, that's what some of us are doing. There are people that are calling out, "Jesus! Jesus, I want to know the truth!" "Shh! Shh!" You'll disturb someone. "Oh, no, 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 no. Don't do that. You might offend someone." Boy, his apostles, they were so full of the Holy Ghost, they tried to shush him up. But you know what? The Bible says he yelled and spoke out even the more. He spoke out even louder. Let me tell you something, brother. He wanted to be healed. And when you want to be healed, you'll speak out. When you need something from God, you'll speak out. He spoke out. You know what Jesus did? Jesus heard him and healed him and saved him that day. You see, Cornelius wasn't the only person that's called out, and Jesus heard their cry. Let me take you to Calvary now. Jesus being crucified between two thieves, one on the left and one on the right. One of the thieves finally came to his senses and just simply said, "Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now listen, I'm sure that there might have been a few skeptics on the ground that probably said, "Just let him call. He wants to be saved. The Lord's not going to save him. He's lived the life of a thief. He's lived the life of a whoremonger. He's lived the life of a terrible man. He's not going to save him with just a few hours of life left." And then all of a sudden, God spoke up. This thief that had given his life and wasted his life, it was just in the last few hours of his life. And he just said, "What do I have to lose? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Hey, can I tell you something? Hey, he spoke up. And when he spoke up, God answered his prayer. When blind Bartimaeus spoke up, God answered his prayer. May I say to you, if you'll remember in Acts chapter 16, remember Paul saw a vision in the night in a man of Macedonia. Remember that man of Macedonia said, "Come over here and help us. We need help over here. We need the gospel over here." Can I say to you, we just came out of a missions conference and there's countries all over the world. There's people all over the world. You know what they're saying? "Hey, come over here. Come over here. We need help over here." And God directed the Apostle Paul in the direction of Macedonia, and some of the greatest revivals and some of the greatest churches ever established in the world happened because somebody spoke up. Somebody spoke up. I'm just here to tell you that God answers prayer. Yeah, he answers prayer, answered the prayer of lost people, answered the prayer of the thief on the cross, the man of Macedonia, of blind Bartimaeus, and may I say, he answered Cornelius' prayer also. You say, what other prayers will God answer of a lost person? That's about the only one I can find in the Bible. The prayer of a person wanting to come to Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're like any of these that may not know, if you don't know that Christ is your Savior, you say, "But preacher, I give, I do this, I do all of these wonderful things." Cornelius did the same thing. It said he was a devout man. Wasn't an evil man. He had all the works of salvation. He just didn't have the person of salvation. You see, there's a lot of folks this morning, you may have all the works, you may have all the procedures down, but you're missing the person of salvation. Hey, salvation is not in a church or not in things. Salvation is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. But may I say, not only does he answer the prayer of a lost person that wants to trust Jesus, may I say he also answers the prayer of a saved person who wants to serve Jesus. He answers the prayer of a saved person who wants to serve Jesus. You know the key to serving faithfully? Jesus nailed it down to his apostles in John 15 and verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. I said, he shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, what I'm saying to you this morning, you say, well, good, I'm going to go home and just ask whatever I will. That's not what it's saying. There's some criteria for that answered prayer. And the key word is abiding. That means connected. That means never being severed from. That means staying in contact. That means having relationship with. He says, now you abide in me. Wait a minute now, he didn't stop there. He said, and my words abide in you. He said, what words are that? Oh boy, I got a whole book full of words called the Bible. We don't have time today to go through all the words that's supposed to be abiding in us. But see, what we want to do is we want to think that we come to church and we pitch in a couple of bucks in the offering plate and we say amen once or twice, that qualifies for abiding. It doesn't. You see, if I went out here to a tree and I took a chainsaw on one of these oak trees out here, that limb out there, and by the way, with all this warm weather, is starting to sprout. Did you know all the leaves are starting to come out? That's all right. They're Texas trees. They know that it's just fooling. Wait till March, middle of March or something. They know, hey, these trees, they're Texas trees. They know we're going to go ahead and shoot the leaves, but we know this weather's just fooling us. But if I took a chainsaw out there after church, as you were driving, you said, what is that preacher doing? I'm up in the land, I go, and I whack that limb off, and it falls down. What's he doing? And you pulled over the parking lot, and you watched, and I went out there with a shovel, dug a hole, and I took that limb, went, and stuck it down that hole, and I said, there, grow, produce, bring forth much fruit. You're going to say, call the hospital, the preacher's gone crazy. Now, you know what I just did? I just severed the limb from the source. It is no longer abiding. And because it's no longer abiding, guess what? It's no longer going to sprout. It's no longer going to produce fruit. You see, if you want your prayers answered, the key is abide. Stay connected. Stay in concert, in relationship with the Lord. You know, the apostles did their best to. You know, it took them a while, like it takes some of us a while. It took Peter pretty much all of Jesus' ministry to catch on. Let me tell you something, when he did catch on, you got Pentecost. You see, the thing about it is when he did get on board, when he did understand the truth of abiding, boy, he preached and Pentecost happened. I was so big about that. When's the last time you've ever said anything and 3,000 people came to Christ and were baptized? He said, and you know what? That went over so good, he spoke again. And he spoke again, and this time 5,000 people came to Christ. Not bad. Spoke twice, 8,000 converts. Do you know most of us and most churches in their history won't even have 8,000 converts? He spoke two times, had 8,000 converts. Now what I'm saying to you today is that the apostles, they were saved men, but they understood the concept, the principle of abiding. You think the apostle Paul might have understood that? Oh yeah, he understood that. Hey, God spared his life numerous times. You know, he said, boy, I'm had Apostle Paul. He was saying, you know what? He spent half of his ministry, if not more, either being beat up, stoned, or in prison. You say, what a ministry. I wonder how many of us, if it came right down to it, to where somebody threatened to stone you or beat you or throw you in prison, if we'd still serve God. Amen. Boy, this is so good. You know, the thing about it is, We live in a society and day and time, we know nothing about this kind of Christianity. Nothing. Yet there were people that are willing to stand up like this man. And you know what? I would imagine Paul probably got a few prayers answered. You know why? He understood what abiding meant. He understood what a relationship meant. How about Timothy? You think he got on board with this abiding thing? Hey, Paul even pointed out and said, you've known the scriptures from your youth. You've known the scriptures from a child. Let me tell you something. Some of you church teenagers and church kids. You've known the scriptures. You've been in church from your youth. Some of them today can even quote you John 3:16 correctly. Some of them today, if you gave them a tract, told them your life depends on it, go give this person a tract, some of them would think about it before they'd go give somebody a tract. Why? We've lost the concept and understanding of abiding. God. Oh, did I say God answers prayer? Yeah, He answers prayer of the saved man who wants to serve God. May I say number two, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. I said, number one, this is simple. Is everybody okay? We're still romper room now. Okay, we're still, this is elementary level preaching. Okay, God answers prayer. I said, God answers prayer, and if we'd believe that, we'd pray more. Amen. You see, what happens is, we want God to do all the work, and we want all the credit. Amen, preacher. Boy, I'm telling you, I didn't intend to say that. I don't know why I said that. I just figured I'd say it. But that's what we are. We want God to do everything, but we get the credit for it. You know what? The thing about it is, God wants you and I to be a praying people. May I say to you, secondly, not only does God answer prayer, may I say God needs you. He needs you. Look at verse 6. Remember, Cornelius cries out, and he wants to know truth. I want you to notice in verse 6, he told him to go to Simon, whose surname was Peter, verse 6, and he says, who lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Listen now, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, I don't know if you noticed something strange about this passage here that just kind of jumped off the page at me the other day. Did you notice that the angel of God that appeared to Cornelius only had the message of where to go and who to go to? I said, did you notice the message was where to go and who to go to? Did you notice the angel of God never witnessed to him? Do you know the angel of God never said, hey, sit down here, boy, I'm going to tell you how to be saved. He didn't. He said, this is where you need to go, and this is who you need to go to. He said, why is that, preacher? Because God's responsibility is to initiate the truth. It's our responsibility to propagate the truth. So you know what? God's consistent. Hey, by the way, if God would have taken him and sat him down and brought him to the truth, then, you know, then he would have to do that and make that available to every one of us. But you know what? That angel said, this is where you go. This is who you go to. He did not sat down with him and witness to him and lead him to Jesus himself. It's our job. I just simply said that to say, God needs you. Now here's what he needs. First of all, God needs you to be available. I said, God needs you to be available. Look at, if you would, in verse 29. Look at Acts 10, verse 29. Peter gets the word, and here's what he said. Verse 29. Therefore, came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for, I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Now, Peter was minding his own business. Peter was probably enjoying his time there in Joppa, but the word comes and says, you need to go to Caesarea. And did you notice what he said? He says, when the word came, he says, when it came unto you, he said, then I came unto you without gainsay, without questioning, without doing anything but just following the leadership of God. God needs some people that's available. I wonder how many people this morning that God moves in this service and says, will you help me? Ain't got time. Oh, I wonder how many people in every invitation that he comes and speaks and says, are you available? Are you available? Are you available? Isn't it amazing how we're never available for God, but we're always available for our little buddies to go do whatever we want? We make ourselves available to go do what we want. But when God calls, the amazing thing is we're seldom available. When God came to Peter, Peter was available. And you know why? Oh, let me back up just a minute and say this. Peter didn't always have that attitude. He wasn't always available. But let me tell you something. When he got right with God, he became available. You know what we've got to do today, dear church? Lose your life for Jesus' sake. Lose your life for Jesus' sake. Look around. You know what all this is? It's material. It's all going to be burned up one day. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words will never pass away. Hey, all of this is going to burn up. It's all going to be gone. Hey, I do funerals all the time. Never seen a single person take a thing with them. Not once. And neither are you. You're not the exception. You're not going to take anything with you. It's all staying behind. God needs you to be available. May I say to you, number two, God needs you to be flexible. He needs you to be available, and he needs you to be flexible. Turn back, if you would, to Mark 16. Turn to the Gospel of Mark just a moment. Chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. I said, God needs you to be available. God needs you to be flexible. Look in verse 15. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what that sounds to me like? Sounds to me like we've got to be flexible. Sounds to me like we've got to be available. Because when he said go into all the world, you know that is beyond Arlington, beyond HEB, beyond DFW, beyond Texas, beyond the United States, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We've got to be available, but we've got to be flexible. We've got to be flexible. So when God says, go, go, you know what Peter was? He was available. Number two, he is flexible. All right, where am I going? You're going to Caesarea. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's where we're going. I'm simply saying God needs you. Do you know that God needed Peter? So what did he need him for? He needed to go down to Caesarea and talk to this man named Cornelius who was calling from Caesarea. I need help. I need help. May I remind you that there was an Ethiopian eunuch cruising across the desert of Gaza. And he was reading in the book of Isaiah. You say, well, he must have been a Christian. No, he wasn't. And he was reading the book of Isaiah, and God went up into Samaria and took the evangelist, Philip, and said, listen, I need you to follow me. Where are we going? You're moving up here. No, come on. And he sent him all the way down to the desert for one guy. One measly soul. Say, man, it sounds like God might think that one soul is important. You own to something now. You see, you need to be flexible. You need to be available. May I say to you, number three, you need to be dependable. Look in verse number 28. Acts 10, verse 28. And he said unto them, Peter did, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew, which Peter was, to keep company or come unto one of another nation, which Cornelius was a Gentile, a Roman. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So not only does God need you, he needs you to be available. He needs you to be flexible. Oh boy, this last one's a tough. He needs you to be dependable. So that when he does send you to somebody, or he does send you to someplace, he can depend on you to get the job done. He can depend on you to get it done. You see, in Peter's early days of discipleship, he wasn't any of these things. He wasn't available, he wasn't flexible, and he certainly wasn't dependable. You say, well, why weren't they dependable? They were human, just like you and I. But there was a day on the shores of the Sea of Galilee that Peter came face to face with the Son of God, and the Son of God said, lovest me more than these? Lovest me more than these? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you know Jesus went through that routine three times? You know why? Because some of us need it over and over to remind us of who we are and what God has done for us. He needs you to be available. He needs you to be flexible. And he needs you to be dependable. Peter was none of these until he got right with God on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Let me tell you something. When he totally committed his life to Jesus Christ, God could now depend on him. He was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile. But God had already shown him, call no man unclean. By the way, do you know we have no right as a church to be selective about who we're going to minister to and who we're going to take the gospel to? The Bible says we'll take it to all the world. All the world. That's all nations, all ethnic groups, whether rich, middle class, poor, we're to be doing the job and carrying it to everyone. He said, be available, be flexible, be dependable. Let me tell you, number three, what I've learned from this story. Look, if you would, in verse 24, Acts 10, verse 24. I said, first of all, that God answers prayer. I said, number two, God needs you. And then quickly, number three, verse 24, did you notice the scripture says, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Peter and the men that came for him, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Look at verse 27. And as he talked with him, that's Peter, Cornelius, he went in and found many that were come together. Can I say to you, number three, not only does God answer prayer, does that God needs you, but may I say to you, number three, God has a plan and purpose. Now, Peter thought that he was going to preach to one man when he arrived, because the word was sent from one man. That was Peter's plan, but that was not Cornelius' plan. Cornelius' plan was, I'm gathering all my family, I'm gathering all my kinsmen, I'm gathering all my friends. And you know what? We're waiting for the word to come. And obviously this man must have been respectable, because when Peter arrived, they were all together. Did you know who gathered them all together? The preacher didn't go gather them all together. The associate didn't go gather them all together. A church member didn't go gather them all together. You know who gathered all these people together waiting for the truth? A lost man. Gathered them all together waiting for the truth to come. You see, Peter thought he was just coming to preach to one man, but Cornelius had gathered all his family and all his friends. And here's what I want you to get from this. First of all, number one, God's plan, his plan. Remember I told you God has a plan and a purpose? His plan is to be just to all men. Everybody believe that we serve a just God? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right? We serve a just God. And so what that just simply means is this, is that God will present the opportunity to be saved to everyone. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now the thing about it is, I'm going to do my best to try to present the gospel to all men, but you know whose ultimate responsibility it is? God's. It's God's responsibility. But he does need you. He's got a plan, and that plan is to be just to all men, to present the opportunity to be saved to everyone. May I say that God not only presents the opportunity to be saved to everyone, but God wants all people to be saved. Now, the wonderful thing is God wants everybody to be saved. The problem is not everybody's going to be saved. He wants them to, though, but not everybody will. You see, when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, he died for all. He died for the sins of all the world. And may I say that that wonderful, saving, redeeming blood can wash away all sins. It can wash away any sin. There's not a sin that you've ever committed that the blood of Christ cannot redeem from and cannot cleanse from. I'm here to tell you that God wants all people to be saved. But God's got a plan, and that plan is to be just to all men. But God's also got a purpose, and that purpose is to restore fellowship with all men. The plan is justice to all men. The purpose, restore fellowship with all men. That's the time that God presents the opportunity to the lost man to be saved and to the saved man to serve. The opportunity is presented. You see, since the fall of man, God instituted a plan that would reveal his love, his justice to man, but woven in the fabric of that plan was a purpose. And it's always been the purpose to restore relationship. Because see, folks, thousands of years ago, Satan got there and busted the relationship up. And immediately, Genesis 3:15, God set forth a plan. And in the fabric, and woven in the fabric, that plan was a purpose. And that purpose was to reunite God and man together. Now, let me finish this thing up and say this. Cornelius desired the Christian life. He just didn't know how to obtain it. So God, in his loving and divine way, provided Cornelius with the answers to his desires. You see, Cornelius believed so firmly that God would send the answer that he gathered all his family and gathered all of his friends together. Now, I'm sure there might have been a few who said, what are we doing? Just wait. Just wait. God's told me the answer's coming. The answer to what? I didn't even ask a question. The answer's coming. And when Peter arrived thinking he was only going to be introduced to one man, was introduced to the man, his family, and friends that would come. I wonder how many that he went and said, hey, listen, God appeared to me, and he's sending somebody to tell us the truth about himself and about how to be saved. Would you come? I'm busy. I wonder how many he invited to come that didn't. Or did they miss out? But the ones that did got it. And when Cornelius and his family and friends heard the word of God and God's plan and purpose, they gladly accepted Jesus Christ. And may I say, did you notice, look if you would, Acts chapter 10, scoot over there, if you look in verse 47, after they accepted him, the Bible said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized. Listen, they didn't get baptized to be saved. They got baptized because they were saved. And did you notice baptism came after salvation, not before? And not to be saved. You see, I just wanted to let you know this morning, God answers prayer. He answered the prayer of a lost man. He'll answer the prayer of a saved man. I'm here to tell you that not only did God answer prayer, I found out in this chapter, God needs you. Did you know he needed Peter? But there was a time in Peter's life after he denied the Lord three times that did not think that maybe he could ever be used again. The wonderful thing is, there may be some here today maybe thinking, God can't use me again. Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, he can't, because he needs you. He needs you. And then may I say, God has a plan and a purpose. His main plan, if you're here this morning without Jesus, is to save your soul. If you're already saved, then his purpose for you is for you to serve him and restore fellowship with him. Whatever that case may be, I hope that you'll get on board with it this morning. Would you bow your heads this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many today in this auditorium would say, preacher, I've been born into the family of God. I'm saved. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I know if Jesus came back today, I'd meet him in the air. Won't you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. And I know it. No question about it. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I ask you during this invitation time to show yourself wonderful, great, mighty in the hearts and lives of people. Some could not raise their hand today. Some could barely raise their hand, so I don't know, Lord, if they know for sure or if they have some doubt of whether they've been born again or not. But regardless of whether they do not know or whether they have some doubt, that they would come and settle it forever. Lord, this is real. This is not a game. This is truth. We live in a real world. Heaven and hell are real. And I ask you this morning, please, would you convict hearts? Please have your way in this invitation. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed. If you couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago, would you be willing to raise it now and say, preacher, I'm just going to be honest. We're in church. Be honest. Say, I'm just going to be honest. I do not know that heaven's my home. I cannot honestly say that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But you'd let me pray for you. Would you let me know that by slipping your hand up right now? Nobody's looking but me. Nobody's looking but me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. Anybody like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody like that? God bless you. All right, you can put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I've been born again. Anybody? Anybody else? All right? If you're here this morning, you'd say, preacher, I've already been saved. Someone's explained to me how to accept Jesus, but I've never been baptized like Cornelius was immediately after I was saved. Maybe you got baptized when you were 4 or 5 years old and had no idea what you were doing. You see, baptism comes after you're saved, not before you're saved. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved but never been scripturally baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me?" Slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me." God bless you, and God bless you, and you, and you, and you. All right, you can put your hands up and say, "Preacher, I know it's the right thing to do. Cornelius did it. He didn't have to go through classes. He didn't have to go through training. Peter just said, hey, there's water here. Anybody got any question why these men shouldn't be baptized or this family?" Nobody said anything. They got baptized immediately. That's what you need to do as a testimony of your salvation before God. Anyone else? Say, "Preacher, that's me. Need to be baptized." All right? All right? Maybe you're here one last thing this morning. You say, "Preacher, we're looking for a place to serve God. God sent us to this church. We're visiting here today. Not sure exactly what God's will is about a place to serve Him, but I need a place to serve Him. Would you pray with me about that? We need a place to serve God in our church home. Would you pray with me?" Slip your hand way up high. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. That's me. That's me. We're looking for a place to serve God." Anybody like that? Anybody like that? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? God bless you. You can put your hand. Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, I need a place to serve God." Anybody else? All right. Now, Father, I turn this invitation into your hands. And Spirit of God, I trust you that you will do the work. I trust that you will convict. And those that raised their hand, and Lord, that said they needed to be saved, that when the first note of the invitation begins, they would come. Today is the day of their salvation. Some that raised their hand said they need to be baptized, and they know it. They know it's the right thing to do. They need to come and make it right with you, Lord. Please, please, do not let people leave this building, walk out through those doors today without making it right with you. Have your way. And then those that need a place to serve God in a church home, would you move in their heart? Speak clearly, Lord, about your will. And we'll give you the praise and glory for the outcome of this invitation time today. For we ask it in the wonderful and the precious name of Jesus. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? The instrument's going to begin to play. Whatever your need, maybe I didn't even preach on something that God has been dealing with you about. This is your time to come. Would you come? If you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. Don't leave today. Don't leave today. Jesus died for you. He gave His life for you. Would you step out and come and let us show you how to accept the Lord?" You've raised your hand this morning and said, "Preacher, I need to be baptized. Would you come? Would you come? Would you step out this morning? This is the opportunity. This is your opportunity to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you come? Would you come? Whatever your need is, you come right ahead. Come right ahead. Come right ahead. Whatever your need may be today, you come right ahead.
Have thine own way.
Maybe I didn't preach on a thing today that God's been dealing with you about. You come. We'll have somebody pray with you. We'll have somebody take your side.